You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma, still standing. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, June 4th, episode 3705, brought to you today by Poseidon Animal Health and Stateline Tech. Good morning, horse people.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic, horse health. And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world.
Let's go!
Happy Wednesday!
We're so glad that you're here. We have a fun show planned for you today. We're going to learn all about the 32nd annual production sale at University of California, Davis. And because it's a cool program that they have there that I had never heard of before today. And we have Dr. Roddy from Poseidon Animal Health joining us. She's one of our favorites, and she's going to answer listener questions about horse health. So we're going to get to some of those. Do we have weird news? We haven't even talked about that yet.
We have weird news, okay. Yes.
Yeah, I figured we probably did. Before we get started, I wanted to mention that many of you reached out to me about Monday's show. I had a chord fail at the beginning. I don't know if Jamie noticed this, but the music that when I played the music, it was only coming out of my left ear. But yet when I was talking to Jamie, it was in both ears. And I thought, well, it'll record fine. It'll be fine. But apparently it went out on the podcast that way. And all of you were going crazy because the music was only in your left ear when you were listening to Monday's show. That was a chord that failed at the beginning of the show. And I couldn't do anything about it anyway. I've since replaced it. And now we should be fine. So that's what happened
now,
there.
I would like you to know, remind you that I have headphones on when I record this, but I only have the headphone over my left ear. Oh. I'm going to be deaf shortly, but I only have it over my left ear because I told you I can't have my headphones completely on because I'm afraid somebody's going to come in behind me and murder me. So I only
you wouldn't
have one
noticed
ear.
It.
I didn't notice. Sorry.
Yeah. So I did notice it, but there was nothing I could do about it. So it's like, okay, well, we'll just go with it. But thank you to everybody who lets me. Seriously, I like when you let me know when there's a problem with the show, like I forgot to cut out a 3-2-1 or whatever. I like that because then I can fix it. So yes, please do keep letting me know when there's issues with the show. It's biblical times right now because we have storms. Jamie, last night, it's so funny because I followed the Texas weather Facebook page, and I just happened to look at Facebook last night, and theirs always pops up for me, and it was like, tornado in Norman. That's when I texted you. Mm-hmm. And apparently some of the other listeners saw it too, because they messaged you. You're okay? You're fine?
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, so the one good thing about being here is the National Weather Center is about a mile and a half from my house. That's very scary. I mean, like literally the country's weather service is a mile from my house. But the good news about that is you get a really big heads up on when and how things are going to play out. Like we knew last week that Tuesday was going to be a severe weather day. And we have our weather guys who get on the show, and that's what I was going to give my daily whinny to good old David Payne and Lacey Swopes for sticking it out. So it was just a line of storms, and it just kept producing like spin down tornadoes, and one hit the campus, but it was very,
oh, really?
Very small.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard of any major damage. Nobody got hurt or anything like that, but it was just one of those days. I mean, sirens are going off and I'm like, Lucas, help me clean out the shelter's in my house, but I like keep like dish.
It's your
like,
pantry.
It's my pantry. So I'm like, pull out the air fryer, get it out of there. You know, like we're having to clean, like get the vacuum off the wall. You know,
had you
like,
kicked Anna and her parents out by that point? You got them out before the storms hit?
Yeah. So we knew it was going to start to get bad in the afternoon. So I told them, I said, y'all got to go. We can have breakfast and you got to go.
Head north or south. Get out of here.
Just leave here. Yeah. So they got north. They did experience some weather heading north, but they're safe and sound in their hotel room. And so, yeah.
So when the National Weather Service building, when they post on their Twitter that they're heading to the basement, you're in trouble.
Oh, yeah, I'm in trouble. You know, and it's crazy. Like, the National Weather Service, it's this huge building. It's probably like 8 stories tall, which is huge in Oklahoma, where in Norman. And it's all glass walls. Like, there's windows around the whole thing. And I'm like, that had to be a terrible idea. Why would you do that?
Oh, it's hurricane glass.
I know, right? I mean, hail and all this stuff that goes sideways out here. Good God. Yeah, but it was definitely one of those like high stress days, and it was not fun. And but we're okay. Everything's good. But you never like to hear anybody say, I get like when I get random texts from people, like Glenn texted me last night, you guys okay? And I'm like, God dang it. Everybody knows.
I always text her to duck. time to duck.
Duck and get in the shelter. Get in your pantry.
You know, we also had severe storms yesterday. We had to stop recording yesterday afternoon. The lightning was, I looked out my window and the lightning was like next door neighbor. So I could see the lightning hitting. I was like, okay, Jennifer, off your headphones. We actually stopped recording, but we're not the only ones. There's smoke coming from the huge fires in Canada that are smoking out the entire top of the country.
Oh no, it's down here too.
Is it?
Yeah. It kind of like the sky a little bit dampens it, you know?
And then the locusts, especially in Kentucky and that area, the locusts are out. No. And there were some videos posted by some of my Facebook friends from Kentucky. It's just incredible, the noise and the amount of them. This one whole tree was moving. The entire tree was covered in locusts out of their front door. And they said they get attacked going to the mailbox. It was incredible. I mean, we were there. We lived in Kentucky when one of the locusts hit. And we went to that Shaker Village. And you were walking on the sidewalks in the Shaker Village crunching. Crunch, 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 all the way through the Shaker Village. The entire walls of the buildings were covered in locusts. It was crazy. Ugh. So it's like biblical plagues right now going on in the United States. So welcome to the United States right now. So we're going to do some daily winnies. You already done yours, so you're covered.
Yeah, I'm good.
We'll do mine. We have a number of auditors with birthdays: Cameron, Mogi, Chantel, and Jane. Happy birthday to all of you. We hope you have a terrific day. And Mogi, I don't see you signed up. They were on a couple of our cruises. I don't see you signed up for Alaska. Get on that. All right. We want you there. So but I didn't get a chance to talk to you about this because we were kind of rushed before we started the show, but I got an email right before the show started with the song attached. And I want you to hear it, okay?
Okay.
It's about 2 minutes long, so bear with me.
Wake up, world, the sun is high. Saddle up, let's ride the sky. From the barn to the open plain. Horses in the morning calls your name. Horses in the morning, bright and true. Tales of hoofbeats, just for you. Laughs and stories, a heartfelt tune. Horses in the morning coming through. Hear the whinny, feel the stride. Every day's a horse-filled ride. Coffee brewing, reins in hand. Horses in the morning across the land. Of hoofbeats.
just for you. Laughs and stories, a heartfelt tune. Horses in the morning coming through. So tune in now, don't be late. The barn is buzzing, it's a day. Horses in the morning, here to stay. Your equine friends start your day.
What'd you think?
Oh my God. Who got John Denver to write a song and sing it about us?
Sounded a little bit like Jared too, didn't it? I mean, a little bit. It's his style.
That was awesome. Oh my, where did that come from?
No, you want the scary part? That was AI.
No way.
So I plugged into this AI and I said, oh, it writes songs. And I was like, okay, I'm going to give it very little instruction. And only instruction I gave it, this is the scary part. The only instruction I gave it was, we do a podcast about horses. It's called Horses in the Morning. Write a song. Nothing else. I didn't tell it what we do. I didn't tell it anything else.
Aww, I was hoping it was like some like Kim Son but who did that, you know, like our.
Isn't it crazy how good that was? It's a catchy tune too. I mean, it's really catchy.
I was like, he sounds like John Denver. Like, who is that?
It was crazy. That's AI. And it literally took it 3 minutes
okay,
to produce.
Now
that.
I don't like it anymore.
I know, but isn't it crazy how good it was? And I can see now why musicians are concerned. Because to come out with that, with the very little prompting I did. Now, imagine if I'd given it actual prompts and told it what to say. It would have been, but it was, I mean, there wasn't anything in there that was weird, like the fifth leg on a horse, on, you know, an AI picture. It was crazy.
Well,
that's crazy.
I'm disappointed. I thought somebody wrote that and saying, I was like, that is so good. Like,
it
wow.
is really good.
I mean, now I'm just like, that was creepy.
I know. I know. But that's the reason I did it that way. And because I sent it to Ashley and she said that, and Jennifer said the same thing. Who did that? Which listener did that? I was like, no, it's so creepy that it's that good.
Okay. Never mind. I hate it. I hate everything about it. You broke my heart. I thought somebody wrote it.
That's why they're all concerned. I get it now. I get it. Anyway, do you dream of winning awesome tack, riding gear, or even a brand new saddle? Well, our friends at Stateline Tack are making those dreams a reality. This is not AI. This is real. You can win great prizes every month with them. They're running an incredible monthly giveaway where you could snag some amazing prizes. It's totally free to enter. And seriously, who doesn't love free stuff? We give away stuff. They give away stuff. We are your source for giving away stuff. You can head on over to statelinetack.com/monthly giveaway. And you just basically put your email address in and you enter today. You never know, you could be the next big winner. They do some great prizes too. So head on over there today at statelinetack.com. And don't forget our coupon code, 30% off any order over $129. Use coupon code HRN at checkout. And remember that some products, if they're already on severe discount, they're not eligible. Just go to checkout, put HRN, it'll tell you which products get the discount. So at statelinetack.com. Well, we're heading to California, Jamie. We're heading to Kelly Davis, who is the horse barn manager at UC Davis. And they have something cool they do over there at the college. And we're going to hear about it now. Well, hey, Kelly, thanks for joining us early from California time. We appreciate it.
Of course. Happy to be here.
So UC Davis, your equestrian program is, you know, pretty well known, your animal science program. How big is it at UC Davis?
Well, we claim the title of being the number one animal science major in the country. So we are very proud of that.
Okay, now you claim it. We also claim that we're the best podcast
we're the best in the
country.
World.
Yeah, so.
Those are good claims. Yeah.
We believe you.
Yeah, so we've also been, you know, ranked nationally by all of the powers that be and the big newspapers and all of those. I can't remember exactly which ones, but
we'll give it to you. We'll let you have
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Right. Thanks. I appreciate it.
So it's a big program there, and you have something that I didn't even know that any college did. It's this coming up as the 32nd annual production sale. So what is that?
Yeah, so it is kind of the culmination of our equine science program here at UC Davis as far as undergrads. We have a slew of internships and opportunities for students to get involved with horse production from everywhere, from just the daily horse husbandry on up to learning how to make horses, do all of the equine reproduction stuff, and how to train young horses, and on up to yearling stage. And so all of that goes into all of the students' hard work goes into an annual production sale where we sell about 10 to 15 yearlings, a couple weanlings every once in a while. But it's just a culmination of the students' hard work going into all of their completion of their internships and all that.
So all the horses are bred at your farm and trained by you guys.
That's correct.
And you have a variety, too. It's not just, there's a lot of quarter horses, obviously, but there's also other horses.
Yeah, so we'd like to kind of stay a little bit diverse to give the students experience with working with different types of horses and also mules. So we are known for our mule breeding program. We had a famous donkey named Action Jackson. He's been inducted into the Bishop Mule Days Hall of Fame for how well his progeny have done. And now we have his son, UCD Action's protege. And so the students get to learn how to work with horses, mules, donkeys, the different breeds of horses to see, the different traits of each breed. And kind of learn a little bit about the industry for each of those breeds as well.
And one of the reasons...
I'm sorry, yeah. I'm not talking much. It's because I'm currently online shopping.
I am too. I'm looking at all the pictures. And I love some of the names, by the way. Quarter horses have the best names. They do. So, but one of the reasons that we're having you on is because this is not an in-person sale. You can buy these online. Jamie could buy one tomorrow.
Correct. Yeah. You can take them home with you. We've sold some last year. Our mules went to Idaho and Colorado, and we had a horse go to Carolinas. So we can get them to you. All you've got to do is bid online.
Now you do have an in-person event where people can actually come and meet them, right?
Sure. Yeah, that's kind of our big celebration of the internships and a great way to meet the horses in person. Because, it's hard to get a feel for the horses online. We're getting ready to publish our sale videos. So we'll have videos of all of the yearlings and the weanling available online for people who can't make it to the in-person sale preview. But we have a great celebration here on that Saturday, the 21st, to really showcase the yearlings and all the hard work that the students have done to train these guys from the ground up.
I'm looking at Simon's Special Lady. That is a stunning paint.
Yeah, she's a special one.
Yeah,
hold on. I thought you were going to comment on words like names like Dalla in my walla, y'all.
In my walla.
Raisin Bitrix. These are such quarter horse names. But then there is the most beautiful mule. I've never seen a dun mule before.
Mr. Mm-hmm. Action Pack Picnic? Is that who you're talking about?
Mr. Action Pack Picnic. Oh my gosh. Yeah. With the barring across the top and down the legs. And oh my gosh, I've never seen that.
Yeah, he's a good looking mule. He was born on our picnic day. So it's our big annual big block party that all of UC Davis throws. And right in the middle of it, we were coming back from the parade that we take the yearlings in. And right in the middle of it, he was born. So that was a very action-packed picnic day. But yeah, we love his coloring. Our Jack, Action's protege, throws a lot of those primitive markings, so that dun striping and the zebra stripes on his legs. And I just think it looks so cool.
I gotta tell you too. None of your horse. If you're worried about UC Davis taking care of their horses, none of these horses are showing any ribs or are skinny in any way.
I literally these pictures. You must have bathed or somebody bathed Simon's Special Lady within an inch of her life because there is not a hair out of place on these photos.
Right. The students do a great job. They pamper them and take them to their spa day before the pictures. And yeah, the photo shoot is a big day for us. I don't think the students realize all that goes into taking sale pictures for horses.
Do they get questions? Yeah, go ahead.
No. I got to ask first because check out her sparkle is a 2024 Palomino quarter horse filly. And I have to know the secret of how you got that tail so white. Please. Sure.
A lot of purple shampoo for sure.
Okay, that's all you're going to give me then. Fine.
Got to keep some secrets.
I imagine they have every bottle in the world there at the tech.
Yeah, right.
So do the students each, are they each assigned to like one horse, or do they work on multiple horses? So the reason I'm asking that is when it comes to sale day, are they in a competition to see whose horse sells the highest?
I think there is a little bit of a friendly competition. And yes, you're right. They, when they start the internship in January, they spend a couple weeks working with all of the weanlings at that time and kind of getting to know them and their personalities and see kind of who they click with. And then they submit their preferences on kind of who they would love to work with. And we sit down and try to find a good match for them. So it's a little bit of matchmaking there. But then after that, they have their horse or mule that's theirs for the 6-month internship. And so they really get to like see how far that horse or mule comes just working with them every day. Yeah. And I think there's a little bit of competition. It's also, it also makes it very bittersweet. You know, it's hard for them to say goodbye to their horse that they've been working with every day. And we've had some students that go on and buy their horse. I always say that at the beginning of the internship, I'm like, if you fall in love, you can buy it and oh, wow. keep on working with them.
Yeah. That's not allowed at the 4-H sales.
Or in the, or in the prison auctions yeah. that I've bought horses from.
I can imagine, I can just see them sitting on their laptops or their phone hitting refresh, watching the auction every, you know, all day long.
Yeah, we're having a big watch party this year. So we're going to all get together and put it up on the big screen and watch those numbers go up. Hopefully.
Okay, no, it's just us. They're not going to listen to this. So do you have a favorite this year's sale?
I get asked that all the time. And, you know, I have told myself I'm not allowed to have favorites because then I get attached to them and then I want to buy them. And I actually ended up buying one. Yeah. Back when COVID happened, I lost all my students and I had to work with all the yearlings and I went and got attached to a mule. So she's with me forever now. So that's what happens when I have a favorite.
I know you've worked with mules before. How's it been owning one?
It's been so great to see, you know, I had mainly worked with yearling mules and not really on up into like riding age and stuff. And it's been super rewarding to see, you know, I was the one that made that match happen before she was even conceived. And then I was there when she was born and then all through her yearling years. And it's just been so cool to see that process and see all the challenges working with mules because they are very different from horses.
Well, that brings up a good question. Are the studs, you know, are we flying in the studs in the mail or are they all your own? How does that work?
Yeah, so I've done a lot of work to network with, you know, industry leading stallion owners. Everything at our program, all of the mares that we have here on farm, as well as any breedings, all of it's donated to the program by very generous industry supporters who believe in our program. And so with that, we've been able to get some donations to, you know, really successful, great stallions like John Simon is the most successful Western Pleasure Sire, Paint Horse Sire in the world right now. Once in a Blue Boon is a really cool cutting horse. And so it helps, you know, benefit our program and produce a lot better product for our sale and create some really cool horses that can go on to do some really cool things.
Dala and Maiwala is one good looking horse. That's a good looking horse.
Oh my God. They're all, you guys, I want our listeners to be able to go look at these. So what is the website? They can go look at these amazingly beautiful photos of these babies.
Sure. If you just check out our website, it's animalscienceucdavis.edu. You can just search for the UC Davis Horse Barn. We also have our socials. We're on Facebook and Instagram at UCD Horse Barn. And we are very frequently posting our yearlings as well as all of our foals that we have born each year. You know, everybody loves the baby pictures. And so we're very active on those. So that's a good way to keep up with us.
And I'll put a link in the show notes too, directly to the sale.
And now I'm noticing that all of these are yearlings except for little Pip, who's a weanling. And why has she got to get kicked out early?
Yeah, we get that question a lot. We generally sell our warm bloods as weanlings. And so Boss Blanc was Saint-Francais stallion that we had standing here a while back, and we have some frozen doses on him left, and he has a great following. So we try to make one or two of those warm bloods each year. But we find they sell a little bit better as weanlings. I think because in order to register warm bloods, they need to be inspected and pass that in-person inspection. And that usually is done kind of like their late weanling year. So we let the owners take care of that and register them how they'd like. So
can I ask what the prices have been in the past? Or, you know, what do you, is there an average? I know you look at that every year.
Ballpark.
But yeah, ballpark.
Yeah. So I get that question a lot too. And it really, since we have such different horses and mules and stuff, it really depends. But since we've gone online, 2 years ago, our sale average was about $7,500. And then last year, we were really pleasantly surprised and we had a little bit over a $9,000 average.
Wow. Per that's
head,
great.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Make your guess on who's going to go the highest, Glenn, and then I'll make my guess on who's going to go the highest.
Checks out her sparkle. You know, they do mm-hmm. like that color. So
she's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm going with Boonlit Rose because Bay Roan looks almost like a blue roan, and it's for out of that sire. No, it's over. I
you
win.
Know, Simon's Special Lady. They love the paints too, though. So I don't know. God,
these are all stunning. Cool.
Yeah.
And really mules go for a lot too, so watch out.
Yeah, they were our two mules last year were two of our high sales.
Really?
So, yeah. They both went for over 10. So
wow,
we're really excited about that.
Well, and I'm sure this goes a long way to helping you finance your program too. You know,
it really does because it's no secret that horses are expensive, and our program is one of the few programs left that has their own, you know, university owned herd because a lot of universities, you say, they look at the dollar amount of how expensive horses are, and they say it's not worth it. But we've been really fortunate to keep this program going and get the students the hands-on opportunities with these horses, because since they're owned by the university, the students get to do every step of this process.
And so important. Just having that hands-on from the time they're born, seeing them born, you know, all the way through is so important, you know, into their mm-hmm. early training. It's just, it's what they're going to see when they get out of college. So.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the only way to learn with horses is to be hands-on, you know, shadowing veterinarians and doing all like watching and reading a book and watching videos and all that kind of stuff. It only goes so far. You've got to get that lead rope in your hands and try it for yourself. So they get to do that in this program.
Well, the sale starts, as I'm seeing here, it starts June 21st. Is that when the sale online starts?
Yes. So bidding opens on the 21st and then it'll be open for about 24 hours and bidding starts to close that Sunday, the 22nd at 5 p.m. We do a live sale close. So if there's active bidding, then the lots will stay open until there's no more active bids. So we don't have to risk someone losing out on their dream horse just because their computer was a little slow or they didn't click fast enough. So,
June 21st, is that also your open house day?
That is, yes. Okay. So our open house starts at 4:30 and we have our sales showcase where we showcase all the yearlings in the round pen and
is that,
at our sales stage at 6.
Is that broadcast?
It is not. Okay. We try to keep it as a little special gem for those that want to come in person and encourage people to come in person. But like I said, we'll be posting sale videos with lunging and groundwork and all of that, showcasing all the yearlings here in the next couple of days. So if you can't join us in person, definitely check out those sale videos.
Well, and Kelly, who do you think is going to go for the most?
She's not going to answer that.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they all go
blah,
big.
Blah, 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 blah. Fine, whatever.
Thanks, Kelly. This has been great and good luck. We hope you're in the $10,000 to $15,000 average range this year.
We would love that. Thanks for taking the time to meet with me.
All right, bye,
Thanks.
Kelly.
This Horse Health Report is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. I am pleased to welcome back to the show our friend from Poseidon Animal Health, Dr. Erin Roddy, and she's going to answer some listener questions. But first, Dr. Roddy, we just had a guest on from UC Davis, and I believe you went there to vet school.
I absolutely did. That's my alma mater for my DVM. Spent 4 good years at UC Davis, go Aggies, and I got a great education there. So very grateful to the University of California at Davis for that.
That's a
best vet school in the world, in case you were wondering.
I mean, obviously, it turned out you and Dr. Siemens, so that's where he went.
He
to,
went there too,
Glenn. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So pretty cool, pretty cool. And so we were talking about all of their horses that they have being sold. Did you go through that program?
So the vet students don't go through that program, but we do get to interact with those horses. It is a great program for learning, and they produce really nice quality horses. We did get to castrate them. So we learned equine field anesthesia and castration techniques on those horses. So they kind of bring the program through all the different levels. And that is certainly a benefit to our education that we got to do that and lead the anesthesia and then be the lead surgeon on those castrations. So very grateful to the horse program. And they do a great job. If you're in the market for a nice young horse, definitely go to the auction.
Yeah, I was thinking, I'm like, yeah, I can't imagine if I had a horse that needed to be castrated, I'd be like, sure, let's let a second year vet student do it. So that's actually really good that they have their own.
Exactly. We have our own to practice on. We are very well supervised. But yeah, it's pretty cool that we have those horses to learn on. And they're young horses, which makes it a little bit easier, smaller doses. They stand up quicker. They're more resilient to the surgery. So it was a very good opportunity for us. And just one of the reasons why UC Davis is definitely the best vet school in the world.
That's fantastic. And now you've left California and you're on the complete opposite end of the country, now down in Ocala, Florida. Absolutely. Where you live near Glen.
Yes, near Glen.
But you guys got to hang out a little bit. I'm kind of jealous in Kentucky.
Yeah. Poseidon Animal, well represented at the Defender 3-day event.
We had a good time. It was very cold in Kentucky, nothing like Florida. But it was good fun. We got to meet a lot of people, talk a lot about product, and that's a great event for spectators and competitors to all come together and appreciate the true limit of horse athleticism. Those horses are amazing what they go out and do on that cross-country course.
It's incredible. Now, one thing, I just have to bring this up to you because I thought this was very strange, but cool. And this is not one of the listener questions, but I got a phone call from a Poseidon Animal Health representative who lives in Texas. And she's like, hi, I am your area rep. And I know that you use the supplements. And I was wondering if I could come visit you and see your place and kind of see what you guys do. And I was like, I'm sorry, nobody from a supplement company has ever called me to come out and actually care. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the differences with Poseidon Animal Health is we are a family-owned business. And even though we operate all over the world, customer service is the most important thing to us. We don't just want to sell supplements and then kind of leave you to your own devices. We love getting in the barn, seeing what you're doing, seeing if we can help with nutrition or management, because all those pieces go together. None of this works in a vacuum. We love meeting our customers, seeing if we can help them in any way, and then just interacting with them and seeing how they're finding the supplements, seeing how they use them, what problems they're facing, because that helps us both with education and when we're developing new products to see what the challenges are out in real life. So our customer service team is unbelievable. And if you are a Poseidon Animal Health customer, expect a call, expect a visit. We like to be really involved and we're always available. You know, we have 3 vets on staff and 3 nutritionists all over the world. So we're always available for questions. Our customer service team works really hard to answer all of our questions that same day, or refer on to us technical staff if it's a little bit more complicated of a question. We really believe that we are now a part of your horse's life and a part of their journey, and we want to help you in any way that we can.
Well, it's funny. I was like, well, I don't think you need to visit me. I mean, I do your commercials. Like, she had no idea that I was the host of this podcast. And it was funny. But what I did do for her and for you guys, I don't know if it'll help, but in Oklahoma, we have a thing called, it's like you can be tax free for agriculture. So I actually got Poseidon hooked up with Equimart, which is a local feed medical supply store that is just south of us here. So I went into Equimart the other day because it's where I do all my shopping, and I walked in and there's Poseidon Animal Health on the shelf and you can get it tax-free. So it was like, yay, it was so cool.
You did an amazing job. No, Ronnie would have definitely appreciated that. And always when you're starting a new company, we're not new, but we're new in the US. It's all about making connections and meeting people. And that's our goal, is to make it as easy as possible for customers to come across our products. So whether that's online, whether that's through a distributor or whether that's through your local store. We want to be there. Wherever you need Poseidon products, we want to be available. So that was fantastic. And I think Ronnie is doing, there's like a customer appreciation day at Equimart, and I know she was going to be involved in that. So
that's next week.
That's perfect. Yeah, we love getting out and talking to people. One of the different things about our products is they do require a lot of education, right? We got to talk about gut health. We got to talk about nutrition. We need to talk about the way the horse's GI tract works. So getting to actually interact with people and teach them what we know and what we're doing differently is really why we're all in this business.
And Glenn, you can cut this out if you want, but I did think it was because she was like, her whole thing, I was like, I've never been contacted by somebody. She was like, we are different. We do everything different here. So, and when I walked in and I saw Poseidon there, I was like, oh, you guys got the Poseidon Animal Health. And they were like, are you the podcast girl? I was like, I don't know why. And she was like, well, there's this girl who sold it to us, Ronnie, and she said that somebody who hosts a podcast does the commercial. It's like this whole weird thing. And I was like, yeah, that's me. I don't out myself to anybody.
Now they know. Sorry, Ronnie, outed you. The podcast girl.
That's so funny. Yeah, so it was great. Well,
I appreciate that help because it is, you know, trying to find which stores are going to be a good fit for us. It's always helpful if someone gives us a tip.
Well, and when I went, they were like, okay, tell us what you think about the product. And I was like, well, let me get started.
No, and that's so helpful. Like actual people that have used it and seen the results. There are so many supplements on the market. And when you have a real life person explaining what they've seen, that makes all the difference in the world. So we definitely appreciate that.
It was great. Well, Dr. Aaron Roddy from Poseidon Animal Health is here to answer listener questions. And we're going to start with Kelly's question, which is, my horse, 6-year-old, is allergic to fly bites, not just midges and no-see-ums, and is miserably itchy this time of year. Won't keep in fly protection gear on. Yeah, my horse does that too, Kelly. Tried a few supplements. He won't eat them. I don't like him consistently on hydroxyzine or Benadryl. I'm sure I said that wrong. And that's what her vet recommends. And it doesn't solve all of his itchy problems. What else can she do? She's like, I'm fly spraying all the time and putting stuff on.
By the way, I'm going through this with my pony Scooter right now, and he's been miserable, and he has open sores and all this stuff, and we've been working on this for a month.
Yeah, I mean, bugs and horses are really tough, and I was just going to say to Kelly that in Florida, it's too hot for us to keep fly gear on, so that makes it even harder if you're in a state like that where it is just too hot to actually put anything on your horse. For me, any of these kind of allergies, again, we've talked about a few times, that is inflammation coming out in the skin this time, right? So inflammation comes in through the gut, it passes through the gut wall when we don't have a healthy gut wall, and then it finds a place to go. And so for these horses that are having hypersensitivity reactions, for me, that's still an inflammation and it's still an immune system reaction. And so for me, it's still a gut problem. I would definitely look at gut health in these horses. Obviously, using steroids or using Benadryl, you're trying to treat the symptoms of the problem, but not actually going to the root cause of the problem. I hear what she's saying about supplements. That's really hard. One of my go-tos is actually to use soaked beet pulp. We've talked about soaked beet pulp before on this show. We know I love soaked beet pulp, but that most horses really like it and they'll eat most supplements mixed in. So I would certainly go back to the root cause being gut health. If she's still struggling and she can't get the gut health right, and obviously that takes a little while, my other suggestion would actually be moving air. So putting this horse in a stall with a number of fans on it, if the flies can't land, then they actually can't bite the horse. And that's particularly important at dawn and dusk. So they don't need to be stalled around the clock, but dawn and dusk are actually our worst bug times. So if you can protect your horse in that way, and I have a homebred mare that we struggle with these issues with, her mother struggled with these issues. And I find one of the biggest differences for her is if I can keep her in front of a fan, whether that's in a paddock or that's in a stall or a way that you can keep moving air on her, the bugs can't land and then they can't bite. So that is a management tip to bring in, but I would go back to looking at the gut health because in my opinion, allergies, hypersensitivity reactions are related to a failure in that gut wall lining.
Gotcha. That's actually cool. I know that dusk is the worst because when I'm sitting in my kitchen, my back opens up to the pasture and it's like, just as it starts to be dusk, all my horses gallop back to the barn. Like, it's like, they're like, Bill, it's time, let's go. And they all just haul back to the barn. They're like, let us in. This is
no, they absolutely know. And it really is that moving air just stops the insects from being able to land on them. So if you have the ability to get your horse in front of some moving air, particularly at dawn and dusk, that makes a huge difference for these guys that are difficult. There are also a couple of tie-in fly repellents. They're actually like discs that you can tie in the mane and tail. And I have a lot of clients that have success with them. But
we're using those on our horses this year. She put a leather collar on them, and she put them so they're on the inside of the leather collar.
Yeah.
And it has helped the face.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does help. And I've had people tie them into the tail. I've had people, when they can use a fly sheet, attach them to the fly sheet. Anything like that, it does actually make a big difference. But again, these are all labor intensive, where sometimes I feel if you can just set up a stall with fans in it, that's sort of an easy everyday, you know, we're not using a lot of chemicals, we're not having to wash all the time. That for me is just the easiest way of avoiding the problem if you have that option.
Gotcha. The next question, short and sweet, what are some early signs of insulin resistance?
Yeah, this is a fantastic question. I actually see this all the time, and insulin resistance is one of my pet interests. Actually, one of the earliest signs that we see is a reluctance to work and a reluctance to go forward. So horses that are at the very earliest signs of insulin resistance often are just lethargic. They don't feel that great. They kind of lose their sparkle. They don't really want to go. And it's amazing. We'll do the blood work and we might see the tiniest changes or even some early indicators in the blood work. And we treat these horses and all of a sudden they get their energy back and their spark back. And people can go down a bit of a vicious cycle where they have a horse that's a little bit lethargic. So maybe they start to feed it some more grain, some more starch, some more sugar, try to give it more energy. But actually, because the horse can't process those things, they get even more lethargic because they get more insulin resistant. So that's also another sort of indicator. If you've tried, say, adding oats to the diet and the horse got lazier, that's a really good sign that it actually is insulin resistant. Obviously, after we move past that, we start to see fatty deposits, even in horses that aren't particularly fat. They'll deposit fat behind their shoulders, in the crest of their neck, over their tail head. They might even be a little bit ribby, but they start to deposit fat in those areas. And then we can see more signs. We can see some gut disturbances, some manure disturbances, changes in the feet, that really crusty neck. But for me, one of the earliest signs of insulin resistance is a horse that doesn't really want to work, doesn't really want to go forward.
Okay. I have a horse that's kind of ticking both these boxes. He's an Andalusian I fight him. He wears a muzzle. It's like, it's a whole thing with him, trying to keep him to not be that, but he's also rubbing his mane out with the flies. So I'm like,
I know
you can't so be an Andalusian and rub your mane out. Ugh.
No, you cannot. And Spanish horses are they basically are insulin resistant. That's natural for them.
They're just born that way, huh?
They're born that way because of the geography that they come from and the ground that they're able to exist on. Everything in America is just too starchy for them. So Spanish horses just are insulin resistant. And so I will definitely talk to you about that one offline, because we've got a new product that we're launching soon that we could try on your guy. But the horses that live off the smell of an oily rag, and you're like, the less I feed them, the fatter they get. That is one of the clear indications that we are having an insulin resistance issue.
I've never heard they live off the smell of an oily rag.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I certainly do. Cool. Well, we'll talk about that. Kelly said, I have two horses that have sarcoids. One was diagnosed by the vet as such, round and a little lumpy on his neck, not interfering with the tack, and we're opting to leave it alone. The other horse has what it looks like a possible different version in a line, more chunky, like a teeny line of chestnuts, but they are on the inside of the hind legs. Her future concern is that she's going to have bigger problems. Kind of, how do you attack sarcoids, I guess, would be the question.
Yeah. So golden rule with sarcoids, if they're not changing, don't bother them. Once you start to interact with a sarcoid, there are a lot of options for dealing with sarcoids. There's lasering. There are medications we can inject. We can do surgical removal. We can do radiation.
Let me stop you there. What is a sarcoid? Let's start with that.
Yeah. So a sarcoid is a benign tumor that forms on the skin. Some horses seem more prone to them than others. We don't know a lot about why they form, but they're just, they're a tumor, they're on the skin. They're normally sort of gray and raised, nodule-like. Some people will often think they're a scab and they try to pick them off, but you can actually biopsy them and tell that they are a sarcoid. The problem is, obviously, with any kind of cancer, this is a cell that is dividing incorrectly. With sarcoids, often if you start to try to mess with them, the cells will divide more rapidly and you can cause big problems. So
they just get mad at you.
If they're changing, if they're growing, if it's an active sarcoid, then you do need to look into treatment. And like I said, depending on the location on the horse, you know, if it's somewhere on the neck where you have a lot of flesh, you can usually just surgically remove it. On the legs, you often need to use either a cream or a laser because we're not going to have a lot of skin to close when we actually remove the tumor, and you need to get pretty good margins. So that there's different treatment options depending on the location of the sarcoid. But the most important rule of thumb is if it's not active, if it's not changing, leave it alone. I get people to take a photograph and that photograph should have a measurement in it. So use a ruler or a measuring tape in the photo so you know the size, and repeat that sort of every 6 to 12 months just to make sure when you look at something every day, it's hard to tell if it's changing. If it's not changing, leave it alone. If it does start to change, that's when you need to consult a veterinarian. And I would make sure that you consult somebody who does a lot of sarcoids. So that might mean going to university or going to a specialist who deals with this a lot to choose the right treatment method for the location and the type. The other thing I will say, because we know I love to talk about gut health, the number of clients I have where we improve the gut health in their horse and the sarcoids get smaller or stop changing is astounding. So again, this is inflammation finding somewhere in the body to take up residence. And when we improve their gut health, we improve their immune system, and then we actually see the sarcoid shrink. That's one of my favorite feedbacks I get. People go, yeah, my horse is shiny and he's fat and his feet are great and all the things and he's calm, just like you said, but his sarcoids are also shrinking. And I go, yep, because the immune system is doing its job. So I mean,
it makes a lot of sense. It's such a big thing in humans now, the gut health issue, and they're learning so much about how gut health and some of the things that we eat are contributing to an unhealthy gut, which the unhealthy gut messes with everything in the human body. Why wouldn't it mess with everything in the horse's body?
You know? Absolutely. And the horse's immune system, 70% of it at least is located in their GI tract, which is even more than in a human. So horses are really, really, really dependent on their gut for their immune system. And we need to really take that into account. So as we've said, whenever you're seeing something that is inflammatory or related to the immune system, making sure you get that gut health right is super important.
Fantastic. Well, Dr. Roddy, as always, it is such a pleasure to have you on PoseidonAnimalHealth.com. I'm a huge, huge fan of your products, and thank you so much for coming on with us.
No, you're absolutely welcome. I love coming and chatting to you guys. I love these questions. It's always interesting to actually get to see what people are dealing with out in the world. And as I say, I'd always go back to the gut health first, and then look at things after that. But it is amazing how much the horse relies on that GI tract to be a healthy, happy animal.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. We never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Our full line of specialty horse feeds is unique in the industry. We start with high-quality non-GMO grains that are flame-roasted for safety and better digestibility. And then we add non-GMO alfalfa, timothy, peas, sunflower seeds, and flax. Your horse will enjoy unsurpassed balanced core nutrition with elevated levels of vitamins, zinc, and copper, prebiotics, probiotics, and electrolytes in every mouthful. Find the perfect formulation for your horse at DailyDoseEquine.com. Select Daily Dose Equine formulations are available nationwide through Chewy.com and TractorSupply.com.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
Yeah, weird stuff just keeps happening. And if you're ever looking through the news and you see something that is very, you're like, oh my God, that's really weird, email it to weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com because I would love to read it and use it on the show. And again, many of you send very inappropriate ones. I can't do them on the show, but I sure do enjoy reading them. Thank you. Okay, so we got a really large number of submissions this week. Debbie, Delia, Janelle, Shelley, Erin, Jolynn. I can't read my own handwriting. Nicole, Stephanie, Carrie, Sherry, Cheryl, Rachel, Glenn, Laureen, and Michelle all sent in weird news stories. So thank you guys. And a lot of you sent the same one in, which was this one. And this happened in Rutherford County, Tennessee. You guys know I like to highlight the animal videos. Well, this one is the search continues, Glenn. The search continues in Rutherford County, Tennessee for the pet zebra that escaped from somebody's home. Okay, apparently they say the zebra is a pet and was seen running in and out of traffic before escaping off Interstate 24, also ran through a subdivision. Let me remind everybody, zebras aren't pets. They're not pets. And apparently the zebra's owners had obtained the animal that day and it already escaped. I'm like, if you think you have to have good fencing for Mustangs, throw a zebra in your backyard and see what happens. So yes, basically these people bought a zebra as a pet and it immediately escaped. So
they're kind of noticeable though. You know what you're looking at when you see one run by your front of your house.
Well, you definitely can see it when it's trotting through this neighborhood, like the video that I see right here. It's called Zebra on the Loose. Yeah, good times, good times. Well, while zebras typically aren't a problem in Rutherford County, I will say that elephants tend to be a fairly noticeable thing in a place like Thailand, which is where they live, the Thai elephants. Apparently, there's a grocery store in Thailand, and the pictures of this, I was like, this can't be real. This can't be real. There's pictures and videos of a male elephant who stopped in front of a gas station located near a main road of a elephant park. Apparently, the elephant, his name is Pai Byung Lek. I don't know. I'm sorry. I will never do that again. It was stopped in front of this gas station, and I guess the like double doors opened, you know, because like they're just automatic doors, and the elephant freaking walked into the gas station.
That must have been a big door.
It's giant. The back, the top of the back is half an inch from the roof, from the ceiling. And this elephant is walking through the gas station. Now, you would think he would do a massive amount of damage. No. He stopped in front of the counter, calmly snatching and grabbing snacks. Apparently, he had nine bags of sweet rice crackers, ate a sandwich, and some bananas that were on the counter. He said once the elephant got his snacks, he left. He's like, cool, I'm good. And they got him to like back. They were like, shoo, shoo. And he backed out of the double doors with a bag of chips in his trunk.
He'll be back.
And they said after he left the shop, he went on to open a bedroom window of another house that was next door.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
He likes his Snickers, you know? Everybody likes Snickers. Gotta have your Snickers. That's funny.
Yeah, bless his little heart. He knows what he wanted. He wasn't causing problems.
So far, we've not been in Florida, so I'm happy.
This is not in Florida either. None of these are. Oh, my God. Linden, Washington. Emergency officials have been busy as well. You know, bees. Cleaning up after a commercial truck crashed, overturned, separated, and broke open. What do you think was in the truck, Glenn?
Oh, we've had all kinds of things over the years in the truck.
I'm just going to give you a number. Inside were 250 million Ooh. Of these.
Oh, marbles.
Bees! 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 Oops. The truck overturned, busted out, and 250 million bees were released on this road.
Okay, I got to ask you. You're the cop that gets that 911 call. Are you busy? I'm not going.
Sorry, you're breaking up. You're breaking up. I can't hear you. Yeah.
Oh, I just pulled somebody over. Don't have time. Send somebody else.
250 million bees. They said that master beekeepers were on the scene and went to go and to they basically reassembled the box hives on the side of the road. And the plan is to allow the bees to rehive, finding their queen. And they said it's only going to take about 24 to 48 hours. They said their goal is to save as many bees as possible, which is heroic and awesome. But they also had to post on their Whatcom County Sheriff's Facebook page, avoid the area due to potential of bee escape and swarming, as 250 million bees are now on the loose.
Would you leave your house, or would you wait until the 48 hours are up? I think
I'm cool, man. Yeah. I'm just going to sit in here and watch some Netflix.
Yeah. I'm going to binge something.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep the doors closed, children. Okay. Now for my potentially favorite weird news story of all time. And I'm sure you've all heard it because it has been all over the place, but I could not miss the opportunity to talk about the hikers in the Adirondacks. Please tell me you heard this.
Yes, I have. Yes.
Okay. So if you haven't heard the story, three friends, they decide to go hiking in the Adirondack Mountains up in upstate New York. I've been to the Adirondacks. They are heavily wooded mountains. Okay?
Beautiful, though. They're beautiful, but you're right. It's thick woods.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous, beautiful. So they go hiking. However, they decided to have a little extra fun and take some acid before they did it, which is hallucinogenic. Oh, wait, no, they were taking...
It was mushrooms, wasn't it?
Hallucinogenic mushrooms.
Yes, it was mushrooms.
So they're like, let's go hiking. Let's pop some shrooms. And the three hikers head out. Well, they get further into the woods and they're like, oh my God, I don't know his name, but I'm just going to guess it's Steve. And they're like, where's Steve? Hey, where's Steve, man? Have you seen Steve? No, I haven't seen Steve. Well, where did Steve go? I don't know. Oh my God. Steve died. He's dead. Oh my God, dude, Steve is dead. We have to call somebody. So they call 911 and report their friend Steve is missing and dead. He's dead. So 911 swarm to the scene. The Rangers get them and they escort the two hikers down to the ambulance. And at this point, they're starting to notice, quote, they determined the hikers were in an altered mental state, end quote, according to the agency. So the Ranger escorted the two hikers down to an ambulance, which took them to a hospital. And then they found Steve, who was like literally like 100 feet behind him. He was off the trail and he was fine. And Steve wasn't dead. They then brought Steve to the campsite where they all met up later after the shrooms wore off. And they're all back together. And hopefully they will not hike on shrooms ever again.
And yeah, maybe they learned their lesson, but I doubt it. I really do.
I doubt it.
Can I give you one more?
Yeah, I just want to say that apparently the Steve, again, not his name, but then the published names. But Steve, apparently, once his friends had gone off and thought he was dead, he apparently called 911 because he was like, hey, I'm lost in the woods, yo. Like, they're like, oh! Your friend said you were dead.
Following a map when you're high on shrooms is probably not easy.
That's not a thing.
No.
It's not. I doubt they had maps.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Hey, we're going to go to China for the last one.
Okay.
This woman dates this guy in China for a year, and then he ditched her rather abruptly, apparently, and she was shattered. She loved him, and she was shattered, and she apparently spent 3 days at home crying, and he wasn't remorseful at all. And that pissed her off. So, you know, after she was done crying for 3 days, she said, well, he's not crying at all. I'm going to fix that. She ordered 1 ton of onions sent to his front door of his house. And they dumped 1 ton of onions in front of the front door of his house with a message that this ought to make you cry.
Oh my God, savage.
So there you go. That was her revenge. One ton of onions to his house.
You know what? I have been that one who did not cry over breakups. And nobody ever did that to me. I guess I'm lucky to have escaped.
You're heartless.
Heartless. Totally heartless.
So there you go. That's our weird news for the day. Where do they send weird news for next week?
Weird news at horseradionetwork.com. Thank you, Debbie, Delia, Janelle, Shelley, Aaron, Jolynn, Nicole, Stephanie, Carrie, Sherry, Cheryl, Rachel, Glenn, Laureen, and Michelle.
All right, we'll do a short post show for you today. I have to go to the doctor this afternoon, so we can't chat for too long, but we'll hang out with the auditors for a minute or two. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
All right, everybody. Spay, neuter, and geld.